Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
If you guys have any questions for Bob, go ahead and get started.
Bob, good to see you. All right, how is everything going so far with the intake with the pitchers and catchers? Do you have everyone available right now that you expect to at this point?
Frankie Montas is not here. He's dealing with COVID right now. Sean Murphy will be late. He actually had a collapsed lung this offseason, had surgery for it. The prognosis, as we sit here, sounds good. Our training staff believes that we'll get him here in time in spring at some point, obviously a little bit delayed, but the timetable is for him to be ready for opening day. So it sounds pretty dramatic, and it certainly did to me as well. But they think that the procedure went well, and the prognosis is good.
Bob, the trade. Oh, can I go? I'm gonna do it. Okay. Dealing with the trade in the offseason, obviously sending both Jonah Heim and Chris Davis to the Rangers. I feel both of those guys kind of had a special place in your heart. So what was that like to let them go? You gained some good things, but I'm curious what it was like to let those guys go.
It's always tough. And you know what? I admittedly get close to players, and certainly, you know, in Jonah's case, catchers work closely with me. Chris Davis's case, he's one of my favorite people, let alone, you know, players. So that's hard. It's just the way it is. But you know what? Typically, we do have some turnover here, and we have to find a way to move forward. What this deal did was allowed us to do some things a little bit differently with the bullpen, which was a concern for us for a while. So you try to do the best you can. You know, we wish Chris the best. We wish Jonah the best. But, you know, we've brought in some pieces here that we think help us for sure.
Bob, almost. Hello. How are you? Have a great season, my friend. This year, almost every year, my friend, if not every year, you know, you have the situation with the pen that you have new faces, and the big names are gone. Now this year, could you talk a little bit about the additions to your pen this year? Of course, Yusmeiro's back. You love Yusmeiro. Sergio Romo, who played with him in several World Series and the Giants, you have him now, and you have Adam Kolarik. That seems to be a very intriguing piece of your pen because he's a lefty with some very nasty stuff. Could you talk a little bit about those additions, my friend?
Yeah, as far as Romo and Petit go, we have not announced anything yet. So hopefully I'm a few days away from that. But I really can't comment on that because we have not announced that to this point. As far as Kolarik goes, it's just an absolute terrific addition for us. You know, with another left-hander that has a history of getting righties out, he's got an incredible ground ball rate. The guy you can bring in and with guys on base, you can bring him in to get lefties out, he gets righties out. That was really a good deal for us and enhances our bullpen. And if things go accordingly, like with the people that you said here moving forward, I would say that our front office did a fantastic job in a short period of time of, you know, enhancing what we thought, you know, was an issue with some of the guys that were going away in our bullpen. And our bullpen's always been very important to us. So, we feel like we're in a much better place in the bullpen, at this point.
Bob, do you have any word just on how Frankie's doing?
He's several days into it. He does feel the effects of it. He is having some symptoms, you know, more flu-like than probably anything else at this point. So, unfortunately, you know, he's going to be a little bit behind.
Have you had a chance to talk to Sean, and do you know more about what happened or what led up to the collapsed lung and how he's doing or feeling?
Yeah, I talked to him that day, and it happened pretty quickly. And, you know, he was in the hospital. He just woke up one morning and couldn't breathe very well. You know, tried to push through it, drank a bunch of water, just thought he was probably dehydrated or something. And then within a couple hours, went into the hospital and you know, had to make a decision on how they were going to proceed. And then I think it was either the next day that he had the surgery, and the prognosis is good. They thought the surgery went very well. And like I said, we hope and expect him to be ready for opening day with a little bit of a late start here in spring training.
When did he have the surgery?
I think it was at least a couple weeks ago.
How about Matt Chapman? How's he coming along?
Good. We'll have to pull him back. You know, he wants to get going, whether or not we get to spring training games, and maybe I DH him for a few games, but he's not, you know, it's more just making sure that, you know, especially at the pace that he plays, that the hip's all good, but everything he's doing in his rehab and his baseball activity right now is going really well.
Bob, you came out right out of the bat and spoke directly about Montas and his dealing with the COVID. Last year was a totally different situation. It was like a secret for everybody. Is that one of the things that we should expect to change this year? More openness talking about the COVID situation?
Not necessarily. It's all about whether the player agrees to, you know, to go in public with it. A lot of times you'll hear, you know, player's not available because of the protocols, and that's more, you know, protecting what the player's wishes is.
Yeah, is he down there with you guys already, or he is still back at home?
You mean with us at camp?
Yeah.
No, he's at home right now.
Okay.
Is there an estimate for when you're hoping that Murphy might be able to join you guys in camp? And also for right now with Jonah also being traded, what's your catcher situation?
Well, I mean, you see the names that we have here. We're comfortable, obviously, if we wouldn't have traded Jonah. And I think Murph maybe halfway through, maybe in games, something like that. You know, still some time before that, and, you know, based on how he progresses, but I think that's kind of the timetable. And, you know, in the other trade with Davis as well, we brought in Garcia, who's a good catcher. We've seen him before, and we have Austin Allen here as well. You know, we have some younger catchers that we're excited about seeing, and, you know, Soderstrom and McCann and so forth, that they're a little bit ways away, but we're comfortable with where we are in the catching position right now, or like I said, we wouldn't have included Haim in that trade.
Bob, so much is still kind of up in the air this year about rules and the whole business, but you got a chance to see kind of a different version of baseball last year with the phantom runners and the 7-inning doubleheaders and all those various kinds of things. Do you have a preference one way or the other about how all that works out?
You know, I was skeptical. I'm a bit of a traditionalist. I was skeptical at the beginning. And as the season went along, I felt like it was the perfect time to do it. You know, it was a 60-game season. There were a lot of things that you weren't seeing that you would see over a normal baseball season. And I think they actually helped, certainly with, you know, COVID last year and as many doubleheaders as you have to play, the 7-inning was a relief, you know. And the last thing you want to do is get into extra inning games and, you know, in double headers. And so I think they all worked out pretty well. You know, we had some success, and that's probably one of the reasons I like the, you know, the extra inning rule. I think we won our first four or five extra inning games, which makes you a little bit happier about it. But I thought all these rules were probably on time. They were the right time to do them. And I think all of them actually worked out pretty well.
But one sign that was that it was confirmed that Mike Fiers, Bob, that sign-in was already confirmed. Could you talk? He's already in his third, fourth season with the A's. Could you talk a little bit of what he brings to your rotation? And now you have six starting pitchers. You know, could you start talk a little bit about how that thing is shaping up right now?
Yeah, no, Mike was a good guy for us to bring back, and, you know, is performed well for us here. The previous seasons, really wanted to come back, you know, and in an off season of some uncertainty and a lot of things happening late, he stayed in touch with us and really, you know, intimated that he wanted to come back. He's fit in well here. He's performed well. It's a good place for him. I know he's comfortable here. So, you know, it's you know, we're happy to have him back. As far as the six starters go, you have to have depth. There's no way that you get through an entire season with the same five guys. You know, we're still kind of figuring out what we're going to do with AJ. We're going to try to build him up as a starter, whether or not we use him out of the bullpen or in a starting role. We're not sure yet. But you can't have enough depth as far as the starters go. And if someone like AJ isn't ready to start, then, you know, he's a good fit in the bullpen too.
Bob, have you laid eyes on AJ? Does he physically look any different? Have you spent a moment or two just having a conversation with him?
I'm about probably 10 minutes away from laying eyes on him, but I know he and Lizardo lived together this off season. You know, they tend to push each other a little bit, and I think, you know, AJ feels really good about where he is physically now. It's all about, you know, maybe some of the lack of innings and, you know, trying to build him up from a surgery that we're still uncertain about where we go with that. So I know he feels great. And like I said, I'll probably talk to him in the next 10 or 15 minutes or so.
Hey, Bob. Chris Davis and Simeon both had leadership roles, significant leadership roles in the clubhouse. Are there any guys that come to mind that you think could kind of step in that void, step in that role, maybe multiple guys, you know, anyone that could help out this year with that?
Right. You know, the good news is that we still have a core group of young players here, still young players here, that had leadership qualities the minute they got here, whether it was Matt Chapman, whether it's Matt Olson, whether it's Chad Pinder, you know, Mark Hanna has leadership qualities, Stephen Piscotty, you know, Ramon Laureano is going to be one of those guys. So that's not going to be a problem for us as far as the leadership goes. And, you know, when you've had several years of winning, you try to keep as many players here as you possibly can, and we still have quite a few of those. So I don't expect it to be a problem.
You said a minute ago that's kind of the dynamic that you've gotten used to with those kinds of guys, and you just have to adjust. And yet the A's have said for a while now, when, you know, the new ballpark gets built and all that, we're going to be able to keep those guys. Are you worried at all about the two Matts and the next round of guys potentially as they become potentially free agents and all of that?
You know, that's really not my job description. So I'm happy that we do have these guys here. And when you win, you try to keep as many guys as you possibly can. There are a lot of obstacles that, you know, that COVID has, you know, thrown at us that you're just unsure about where things go. So I deal with now and today, and you know, I like the group of guys we've had here, and I love the fact that we've really reinforced our bullpen here as of late, which is a major part of our team and has been for a few years.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, you had to. Hey, go ahead, please.
Could we switch to having you guys raise your hands? We've got enough people on this call that I don't want you guys to have to talk over each other, and I can just call on you for the next question. Manolo, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I lost my screen for a second here. Hey, Bob, you have two fantastic leadoff hitters in Marcus Semien and Tommy La Stella. Now both of them are gone. However, you get a guy that has done this a lot for his previous team. And we talked to him. He said he would love to do that, especially now that he lost 10 pounds and he recovers, you know, his speed. Is Elvis Andrus one of your possibilities to be your leadoff guy this year, my friend?
He is. We have several guys that we'll probably look at. But he, as far as experience goes, he's the most experienced guy. You know, on base percentage plays into how we do that. You know, you want your top couple guys in the lineup to be able to get on base. And a healthy end, you know, Elvis could definitely do that. He's very driven right now. He wants to resurrect his career. He had some injuries last year. You know, he's in a new place. You get invigorated. You know, he's with the team now that's won the last few years. So I know he's really excited about the opportunity. He'll do whatever we ask him to do, but, you know, performance is going to play out. And you know, we're going to want the guys at the top who get on base, but the experience is there, and he's definitely a guy we're looking at.
Matt?
A couple things real quick. You mentioned just the importance of starting depth. The two left-handers that you guys acquired, Urban and Turley, are those guys that could potentially kind of add to that depth there, as well as maybe being a little bit of a bullpen option at times?
Yeah, we do have some guys that we consider swing guys, depending on how the, you know, the staff irons itself out. And, you know, and we also have some guys, even younger guys in our systems that you've seen and talked about. You know, it's also Jeffries and Blackburn, guys like that. So we're trying to create as much depth as we can, but both those left-handers have the ability to both either start or pitch out of the bullpen.
And then for just in terms of like the normal 5-day rotation idea, are you going to have to be sort of creative with that given the history, just kind of the way that last year went with guys pitching fewer innings and wanting to be mindful of workloads, and also knowing that you have some younger guys like Luzardo and Montas who didn't throw a ton of innings in seasons in the minors?
We do. I think every team's in the same boat for the most part. You know, other teams will probably have some 200 inning guys that just, you know, last year was probably a break for them. But we have younger guys that we do have to be cognizant of that. You know, we'll do that in spring. We'll do that during the season. And we'll try to, you know, we'll rely on our training staff to monitor these guys and do what's the most prudent thing to do. But as of right now, we're not talking about a 6-man rotation. We're not talking about trying to get more innings out of our bullpen because, you know, starters aren't pitching as long as they have in the past at this point anyway. So that kind of mitigates it a little bit.
Just lastly, do you have a Birch Smith update?
Yeah, he feels good. And I didn't say, you know, and Birch is another guy that, you know, performed so well for us last year. We feel great about him in the bullpen. It's just making sure he's healthy as well. So yeah, I mean, he feels good. I talked to him yesterday when, you know, I was leaving here after a physical and had a big smile on his face and looks to get back and, you know, perform at the level he did for us last year, because he was a serious weapon for us before he got hurt.
Vince?
Bob, when you came back last year to 2.0 and you had the COVID and all the restrictions and had to kind of on the fly make that spring training work the way it did, how much does that help preparing for this spring training with Ryan setting up the camp and knowing that the camp is not 2.5 or 3 weeks, but it's double that size and trying to manage that? What's the most important thing about getting through this spring training with what everybody's dealing with?
Yeah, just trying to stay away from the COVID, and we do have experience with it. That'll be one of my messages to the guys. I mean, you know, you hear a lot of people say the 60-game season last year felt like 160 games, and it did. You know, when we left, when the season was over, you were like, phew, I'm glad, hopefully that's over and we don't have to deal with it again, but we do. So, you know, you rely on the experiences that you had. Ryan Christensen's a master with the with our schedule and stretch times and spacing people out and getting here at different times. Our days are going to be a little bit longer because we have fewer guys that are stretching and you know, going through their routines, you know, more spaced out. But I know he feels a lot better having the experience from last year, and this schedule came together pretty quickly for us. And, you know, we feel good about doing the right thing and trying to keep people's way. There's waves to it. You know, the first few couple weeks are more spaced out. Then when you get more guys here and you start games, then you can get guys together a little bit. But we'll be cognizant of every day of it, you know, whether it's stretching, whether it's in the clubhouse and the social distancing, certainly masks. We'll do the best we can, and had a fairly successful year last year with it, less one incident. So, you know, hopefully we're on the same path this year.
Alex?
Coming off of a shortened season last year, are you thinking of like warming up the bullpen differently, using the bullpen differently in 2021? Do you anticipate any changes there?
You know, not at this point. We do feel like we have several multi-inning guys. If you have a bunch of one-inning guys, then maybe you look to do something a little bit different. But like I said, you know, starters aren't pitching as many innings as they did in the past. And bullpens are used to carrying a load. So, you know, at this point in time, we really don't think there are going to be significant changes to how we do it. You know, maybe individually, if we think, you know, one particular guy or a couple guys are getting too much of a workload, but, you know, the bullpens are getting a big workload as is, and we have guys that are multiple inning guys. So, you know, it's more on the fly and trying to figure it out as we go along, but no dramatic changes or thoughts at this point as we sit here.
Shana?
A few months ago, you mentioned Diekman, Wendelken, Trevino as possible guys to slide into the closer role. Are you starting to think more about how you're going to envision maybe incorporating more names into that race, or is that something that's at the front of your mind at all?
Maybe yeah, and there, we haven't settled on anything yet. You know, I also want to talk to players about, you know, some of these pitchers about what they're comfortable with. But, you know, bullpens are deployed a little bit differently, you know, the last several years, and we're not afraid to experiment a little bit. You know, certainly Jake's performance would suggest that he could probably handle anything. And we have a couple more guys that hopefully we get under wraps here. At least one of them has some closing experience too. So this isn't something that we're gonna make a decision right now, but the fact that it looks like, you know, our bullpen's been enhanced and with some guys with some more experience makes me feel a little bit better about the potential for who pitches the ninth inning. But again, nothing settled at this point.
Manolo?
Bob, a couple of years ago, Trevino was like lights out there. You know, every time he came out there, he was firing the ball there, you know, no chance for the hitters. Good set of man for Blake training. 2019, maybe not so good. But then in 2020, he came back with a bang. How important for you now is Trevino, taking into consideration you have so many new faces in the pen, and is he also another possibility to close games for you?
He is. You know, it's all going to be about performance, but I mean, you know, if you looked a couple years ago and then Blake goes away, I mean, Lou looked like he was going to inherit that role. But not every season goes the same. You know, a lot of times for younger guys, after a really good season, they experience some growing pains again. And that happened with Lou, but the stuff hasn't changed. You know, he still throws in the mid to upper 90s. He still has great sink. It's not a comfortable at bat for hitters. And a lot of it has to do with confidence and believing in yourself. You know, he definitely has the stuff to be able to do that. So he would be considered one of those guys potentially in that mix.
Yeah, usually before the new rule, you know, the teams had the lefties that only face lefties and then left the game. Now you have to get face three hitters. How important in that sense is having somebody like Kolarek? They understand that he could be as effective against lefties and righties. And he also, you know, he gets a lot of ground balls.
Right. It's huge. And you know, that was kind of how we proceeded last year, too, was trying to get a full bullpen of guys that you felt like had the ability to, and the weapons to get righties and lefties out. Kolarek, for sure, is another one of those guys. You know, his ground ball rate against righties, the numbers against lefties are fantastic. Jake's always been that guy, Diekman. So, we feel really good about the guys that we bring into our bullpen that aren't just matchup guys, because you do have to face three batters now. So our front office did a great job with it last year, and I think they're doing a good job with it again this year.
We'll just take these last two questions. So, Alex?
Looking ahead to the second COVID season, you know, a lot of this stuff, obviously, you have to play by ear. But, like, are there any lessons to be learned with, like, all the starting and stopping from last year, and then, you know, when you guys did have to deal with an outbreak, that can be applied to how things go in 2021?
Yeah, you got to learn from what transpired the year before. You can't let your guard down. You know, for a while there, it looked like we were invulnerable and we were doing all the right things. Our guys were on it all the time. And all of a sudden, something pops up that is very unexpected and very uncomfortable. Sitting in a hotel room for 4 or 5 days in Houston was not fun. You didn't know when you were going to come out of that. You know, we were having a good season to that point. There are a lot of things that are at stake. So that's going to be a message that never goes away here, is that you cannot let your guard down. And even if you do all the right things, it doesn't, you know, make it a surefire thing that you're going to stay away from it. So It's just always have your guard up, always be communicative, always, you know, reinforce the protocols, which we will do here. I think that's the thing that I learned the most.
Martin?
Hey, Bob. How big is year number two for a young pitcher like Luzardo? And how big was that experience last year for him getting through a full, you know, full season as a starter and pitching in the playoffs as well? How big is that for any young pitchers going into that second year after the rookie season?
Yeah, and then to have, you know, his rookie season, he's pitching out of the bullpen and doing things a little bit differently, handled it beautifully. He was basically untouchable. You know, and then you learn some things. You know, you get hit around a little bit for the first time. It shocked me with his stuff. I'm sure he didn't expect to, you know, have some games in the fashion that he did. But the type of guy that he is, he's going to be better for it. And he's going to learn for it. He's not going to lose confidence because of it. It's going to make him that much more determined to figure out what he needs to do to stay consistent. And he has the stuff to be dominant. So I'm really looking forward to what he can do in a full season. You know, last thing I would like to address, you know, Pedro Gomez was a friend of mine and just such a great personality in the game of baseball. You know, I knew him in my Diamondback days. You know, here in Oakland, lived here locally in Arizona, you know, and I know everybody's feeling the effects of that, you guys especially. And, you know, I know the memorial or whatever it was yesterday. And I just had to say something because I have a very heavy heart, a good man. And I felt, you know, close to him, you know, more so than just business. He was a friend. So I have a heavy heart today. And I just wanted to address that.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, everyone else.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.